hate when you started like
so. Oh my god, well then you do the intro from now. I remember that the first time when we were alone and we started to do the intro, you're like, all right, you take over, you do the intro because I don't want to do it.
Alrighty,
and since you're not blessing us on the internet with, you know, another poem, since we've become all, you know, tight because, you know, the book is soon coming out. No more pre-releases, I guess. We're not blessed. We're not, you know, worthy enough to hear the words of Barbara Simone.
Welcome to Nuance. I'm very happy that
very concentrated conversation as she stared at her nails and doing her nails.
Yes, I'm doing my nails, but I'm very happy that we have the time that we can we can sit and have a conversation. I feel like it feels like it was a long time ago, but you know, it was just only the 1st of November that we did the last episode. Right, so welcome to Nuance. Today is the 19th of December 2021. The year
is going to an end. It's so weird.
Like, it's, I don't know.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. It feels all at once short and also long and drawn out. Like, it's
I feel the last 2 years have been like this weird fever dream that's just like ongoing. It's like every day you wake up, it's like, okay, wow, this is still going on.
So, but I'm happy that we have able to schedule our time so it collide.
I don't know when this has established in the family, but I feel offended to the most degree. I feel like anytime I come out to the room, it's like, oh my god, what's the occasion?
So what we're talking about today, let's talk about the personality test that we did as a family and the fact that you were pissed off that you were given the animal.
The most weakest animals.
It's not a weak animal.
And the small ones. Everybody else got
first, first. Hold on. Calm down. Let's talk about the personality test. Explain what it is.
You should. So mom is on TikTok now.
No, I'm not.
She's watching TikTok videos now.
Via YouTube.
She's watching TikTok videos now and she's becoming one of those moms like, oh my god, look what I just saw. And for her family meeting, she showed us this, what was it, 15-second video of someone that's like, okay, it's a personality test where you have to think about, depending on what the question was, you have to think of an animal. So just randomly, it's like, all right, what's the first animal you think of? And you write it down. The second animal, right, if that animal didn't exist, what would be your second pick? And then the third pick. And then like the first was how you think people, how you want people to perceive you. The second one is how you actually are. And then the third one was like something else. I don't know.
No, hold on. The first one is what you think people think you are.
How you are.
The second one is how you are.
To other people. And
The first one is how people see you. Yeah. Or rather, how you want people to see you. The second one was how you actually are. Mm-hmm. And the third one is, I think I have to start over.
You see, because the first one is how you feel other people see you. The second one is how they actually see you. And the third one is how you actually are. That's how it was.
All right, so you will start over?
No, we can just leave it. It's a part of the conversation.
Who wants to listen to this long journey?
Anyway, moving on. The main point was, what were the animals that were picked? We then decided, okay, you know, everybody decided what they actually thought animals were. I feel like I got the poorest choice out of all of them. And as usual, for whatever reason, I am like the one picked on in this family, right? Everybody else, yeah, you're more of a lion, you're a tiger, you're okay, so you're an ant.
No, that was Jonathan saying
you're
that.
Also a cat.
I said that.
I don't even remember what daddy said to me.
He said you're a squirrel.
Which was the worst one. Literally the only animal that can die of stress. That literally dies of heart attack and stress.
I thought that was so shocking. I was like, why you say that? And he's like, because his point, you know, is not obviously about the whole dying of stress. He says that you are the busybody person who is just doing a lot.
Even that is an offense towards me, my personality, my soul, my spirit, everything.
All right, Inya, first of all, I don't think you should take it that deep. I think you should just log it as data in terms of how people see you, because Jonathan agreed and I low-key agree. I see you more as a cat. I feel like I see you as somebody who is you're very deliberate about what you're doing. I think that you are very territorial and very you know, I'm sure to say, like, you're just not the one to for the people to violate your space. Like, you're very, very much protective of your emotional space, your physical space, your things. Like, I hate that about that.
You what?
We like the way how there are things in the house that are obviously from the family, and you've set up this thing where you have to ask permission.
You have to ask permission about what thing? What thing? What
you're
thing?
The only one, because like with me,
like what thing?
We don't have to go into
details. So there is no example. So clearly, no. This is you.
This is not content for people to hear. All I am saying is that I think that's why I say for me you are a cat. And also I think you demand respect, and people, I don't think you have to fight for it, because people, I think generally the people respect you just in terms of, you know, how ethical you are in terms of your, you know, how you live your life and all of that. But you're very, yeah, very clear about, okay, this is for me and this is not for you.
Oh my God.
You have to make your father come on and talk about the squirrel thing.
And I don't like that this hood is whole because just your eyes just glaring left on my face, just like, I'm right here.
You come back with that again? Yes. We talk about the fact that we were having a full blown conversation before this, and I was looking at you were the one was looking away.
Sure.
As you look away. Anyway, so yeah, so I see you as a cat. I really do. I think you should just own that.
Okay, so here's the funny thing, though. You know, take back that I think you are actually the cat, if anything.
You know, the fact that you say that I'm a cat is not bothering me. It's the fact that you and Jonathan agree that I'm a snake.
Okay,
that
but
is the thing that really blow my mind, that that's the animal you associate with me. So I am interested to understand, let the people know, the 12 and a half people who listen to the podcast, why you see...
I said a cat and a black cobra. I was very specific with those two things.
Well, Jonathan said a wolf, a owl,
and a snake.
An owl and a snake.
Yes.
And his thing with the wolf was that I am alpha and I'm a loner.
So,
and then the owl
is a night watcher. You have an overview of everything.
And the snake
was the same reasoning like mine.
Which is?
As I said, for me, you being a snake has nothing to do with like the social, oh my God, the, you know, how in society we see snakes as like all snitches and whatever. Like, I don't see it as the snakes as like very respectable animals, in the sense that they don't really attack unless they feel threatened. But if they attack you, and if it's a poison snake, you're dying. And I feel that's how you are, like in arguments and stuff. You're the same kind of like sharpshooter type of person. It's like when you hit, it hits and it hurts. Also, I feel like those, like, it's like the black cobra, and they're just very, there's, even though I don't like snakes, there's something very,
and
like,
that's the
elegant.
Thing. How can you see me as somebody that
you know,
don't
snakes
like?
Actually, snakes actually stand for transformation. Or you're going to be like, because you said it before, it's like, oh, this is me trying to, like, soften it up or whatever. But, like, I used to have, or I have a lot of dreams where snakes come in, and whenever I Google, like, the meaning of it, they say snakes are mostly as like a sign of transformation and stuff changing, and I feel like, you know, it also kind of fits with that. But 100% with the fact that snakes normally they chill on their own, they're very protected of like their eggs and stuff. But if you come around them and they feel any type of threat, like they don't hesitate. It's just like one bite, done. And I feel that's how you are. You're very, you know, sometimes it can be a very vicious, you know, protective type of person with you and your things, especially like, for example, with your work, you know, as an author and a poet, and a cat, because as ironic as I always found it, I've always told, it's not the first time I told you that you remind me of a cat. Which are you purse up your mouth just like a cat would as well, and you're making your nails all nice and sharp like a cat would, is the way how you are when people come on your space. Like, you're the type of person, you know when you don't want, when, or you let the person know when you don't want them in your space or want them around you, and you'll just like go into your room and also just like disappear, and you come with every now and then. Also very just like, you do what you want to do, you don't really, you know, necessarily follow social norms. And I feel like cats in themselves aren't really pets, Because when you really think about it, all the people, most people do is just, they just clean up their shit, or they just like feed them and now and then. But even if you would do that, they would look after themselves and they could survive. Like, look how much cats like on the road, even here in our little village, walking around, living life.
All right, Inya. And that's how I see you too. So what does that say?
That I'm clearly your daughter then.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. I want to say that I told you about Bell Hooks, the author, feminist, who died. Yeah. She's the author of the book All About Love, Entire Woman. She is one of those great authors that you need to read. She the book All About Love is one of them that I think is really very... a must read. It's one of those must read books. So I invite you to read her. She died, when was it, 2 or 3 days ago? Or was it maybe 4 days ago? I think they said she had kidney failure.
Wow.
But she was one of those authors, black female authors, that write about love in a very nuanced and... like, just she was exploring things, in my view anyway, that a lot of writers at her time wasn't really looking at, about how, you know, we have to consider that love is really what the whole thing is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that the, yeah, so anyway, for those who know Bell Hooks, yeah, it's one of those times, like, just like when Toni Morrison died, I feel like, yeah, the great authors who are dying, I hope that there are enough people who are going to be replacing them, you know?
Yeah.
We're replacing them in a profound sort of way, so that we continue to inform the generations that is to come about what dark areas we should look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what are we talking about today, Inya? It's the last month of the year. What are the topics?
I thought we'd end the year... or maybe we'll do another end of the year podcast, like recap. But for for this episode, I thought you say you wanted to introduce your top two albums recommended by Barbara from this year.
They're the only two albums that came out this year, though. Like, seriously.
Oh my God, oh my God. There are other albums that came out, but these are the only ones that fell into your radar, which is like, you know.
Okay, well, all right. Fear harsh enough. Place. Tell me an album other than these two.
Drake's album, Mom. Did you not listen to it? It was so fire. I still haven't listened to it.
Dumbass, lame ass. Drake. But let's talk about Silk Sonic and let's talk about Adele. Let's talk about Silk Sonic first, because I think their album came out before Adele's.
Yeah.
And Silk Sonic is with
Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars.
Yeah. And I remember when we were watching Grapevine, that YouTube show where the girl, what's her name, was so, she went hard against Bruno Mars. And, yeah, you know,
she's Latino.
And at the time, I was like, yeah, it's kind of true. It's the same way they always want to colonize, you know, people who are not truly black or whatever. But I feel like I did a full circle with Bruno Mars. Like, this album let me look at him in a whole other light. Like, not just as a singer, because I think he has a really great voice, but also as like a performer.
Like a songwriter.
Like, when you look at his performances, I don't know if you ever... Okay, so yes, I went down the rabbit hole of looking at his performances.
Yes, because we know when you research things, you research things hard. I swear you should go back to school. You would enjoy it. All the stuff you get to, you know.
No, like, Inya, seriously, there was a... I saw somebody put up something on Twitter one time to say, who is the best performer, stage performer of our time?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, everybody's like, Beyonce. And then there are people like, no, it's Bruno Mars. And then I thought, what? I didn't even put him in that category. And so I went and I looked at some videos from him when he, you know, and he is absolutely like, he's top tier.
Bala energy, full on.
Not just that, but he's like a real threat in terms of like the singing, the dancing, the stage presence,
and
everything.
The catching of the vibe. I think that's the most important thing. Like, he's able to, like, even the whole album, like, whatever mood you're in, even if you're in like a bad mood, like, you can't deny the fact that there's a subtle vibe that just like catch you. Like, if it's not the 777 song, or, you know, even that bitch, you just like, damn her, how could she? You know, all of a sudden just feel the heartbreak.
And, you know, like, I feel there's some real awful people online, you know, like they were saying, remember when he was like, he gonna catch a grenade? No, he's
like, the internet never forgets. Like, even though we get distracted easily, we don't forget.
But I think that this is a great album. I have to say, I didn't know about Anderson .Paak before now.
You want us to just go a quick back down?
And never come to me with Anderson .Paak. Oh my
God. Like, I need Jonathan as my God, honest witness to just help me with this.
The short one. What's his name?
I think we're gonna look at you because I know this is like disrespect Kendrick's name one too many times. This goddamn building. Watch, you know, he go come out with the next album. You go listen, be like, you ever heard about Kendrick Lamar? Kendrick Lamar, him sound good, you know? And also, I was like, really? Right.
And yeah,
Showed you. I don't remember what's the name of the song. I don't remember the song. He has a song with Mac Miller, the ex-boyfriend from Ariana Grande who killed himself.
Did he kill himself though? He was a drug overdose.
He OD'd, I guess. We'll never
really technically know. It's real, still killing himself.
Yeah. Well, rest in peace. But, you know, anyway, they had that song together. And like I think it was from that song and some other songs, I really started to notice Anderson .Paak. And I was like, oh, wow, he has like really nice music. And I was like, me and my naive self coming to show you the songs, be like, oh my God, mom, look at this. And you're just like, all right, I guess, whatever. Anyway, you saw this and this. I was like, wow. And then now for you to come around, be like, oh my God, this guy, Anderson .Paak, he's so good. It's like, yeah.
I never said he was not good when you showed it to me. I remember. I hate
feeling like one of those hipster people, like, I was there first, but I was there first and I did show you about it.
And you won. Congratulations.
Yes, I just like you. I would just like the respect, God damn it, of when I come to you and show you things for you to give it the proper time and day. I get it. You are a person who me and Jonathan already talked about it. That's just how you are. You need to find a thing so you can say like, I found this, because you know
listen, first of all, I don't want it to sound as if like I'm saying, oh my God, you know, I'm hearing him and he's like, you know, this is me telling you about him. I never said that. I think the first song I heard was Leave the Door Open. I fell in love with that song and I didn't know the guy was on it. I thought it was just Bruno Mars alone. It was when I saw the video from that and I saw him and I was like, okay, because he sings like half the song. Because him and Bruno basically sound the same way to me on the song, right? So like, first of all, stop saying that. Like I will admit that short voice Kendrick Lamar person is the one that you told me about.
Like the disrespect, like, wow.
I like some of Kendrick's songs. That's fine. Let's focus. Like, please.
Oh, wow. You see how you even, I get with the queen, it's like, all right. Disciples, tone it down. Let's get back to the main focus. No. But yes, let us hear.
I'm not letting you know, like, I don't want you to make me feel bad about this.
You should. And I hope deep down in your subconscious there's a slight part of you that feels bad, even though I know you would never let it come to the surface. I harbor on that little voice in there. It's like, Barbara, it's true what she's saying, you know. Deep down, right. I know it's there.
So let's start with Silk Sonic and Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. Like I said, Anderson .Paak is somebody I never heard before. I don't remember she coming to me, you, Miss Anya, telling me about it. But the fact is, the two of them together is like magic. Like, the two of them together, I think it's clear. I mean, they're Silk Sonic, the group.
Yeah.
But they're obviously two separate... You know the guy named Bootsy Collins? Bootsy Collins is the voice on all of the songs. It's like,
oh, that's talking.
Tell us how you really feel. When he, the one about
the conscience, basically. Yeah.
And he's the one who came up with a name for them. And it's really a good name because it's like there is a silkiness to the voice, to the sound, the instruments, the... You can hear that there is a massive attention to detail in terms of the instruments. You know, and I really like the fact that both of them play instruments too, which already and takes like take them out, them in a one different level, like top tier artists versus what we have nowadays. But anyway, I like
it was just that sort of like head shake. I was like, you know what, nowadays, this is literally from nowadays, but okay, keep shading the music of today, woman.
Yeah, but Anya, let's be clear.
Adele is also from nowadays, coming, just, you know.
Yeah, but like women, I mean, nowadays I'm referencing, like, for example, some of the rap music that we have to listen to. Drake, DaBaby, Little Baby. Little Dirk or something. I don't know. You know these people?
No, you just, who's Little Dirk?
No, there's a girl. There's a guy named, so I think. Anyway, let's go back. Silk Sonic is like a must-have album. I like all the songs, every single last one of them. The Leave the Door Open was my entry point into it, but Fly As Me is good. Like, Fly As Me is just after last night was very much, you know, whatever. But Smoking Out the Window, the video,
everything. I think that cut, like, that was the last, like, when they said the last nail in the wall, mm-hmm. that was so all the internet peoples were just like making memes and getting fully into it.
I think they really did a great job. Put a smile on. This is nice. So 777.
That's my showering song.
Yes, and Skate. Like, I think I have to say I have a lot of respect for people who were able during the 20, because this whole project, they say, came across, they've known each other before, obviously, yeah. But they say, like, 2020, when they were all locked up in quarantine or whatever, lockdown, is when they started to say, okay, they're going to really take it serious and do it together. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were able to come up with this during such a time, you know, mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for that, because I feel there are some, like, I've seen authors who have said, like, during the time of the intense part of the pandemic, they were not able to create.
Yeah.
Because
they felt stifled, I can imagine.
You understand? So the fact that they were able to come up with this, I just absolutely love it. And I hope that they win whatever awards they're getting, they deserve.
I hope so too, and they're not going to be robbed by, you know, one of the industry plant people, them who, you know, they know they make money.
I think.
So what would be your overall rating of the Audible out of 10?
I would give it a solid, solid, solid 9 out of 10. Because I think what they do on the album is, when they talk about the whole, you know, the breakdown of the relationship, but they do it in such a way that it's a fight song too. You know, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's like he's ball up, like, in a fetal position in a corner. He's cussing her out, and then he's saying how he really feels, and he's trying to still get over it. And so I feel like I really respect, because I think I identify with that way of dealing with heartbreak. It comes to me more easy to just, like, be loud about it and deal.
Stomp him out. Right.
But I cannot say more about this. Like, what I wanted to say is, like, when the discussion about who is the best performer for, like, you know, stage performer mm-hmm. of our time, I really feel like Bruno Mars is up there. I mean, I mean, you know how me feel about Beyonce. I always, you know, whatever. But Beyonce is a good performer too. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna, you know, take that away from her. But I really do think that Bruno Mars is like top tier, like top three. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw. And the thing with him, you know, is like I was watching. You remember that the Super Bowl performance that he did, and Beyonce was also on it as well.
Yeah.
And I was watching that, and I was realizing, like, Beyonce performs really technical. Like, she does the dance moves, and, you know, you see that there's a lot of thought that was mm-hmm. put into it with his clothes and the whole thing. With Bruno Mars, though, it's like, he just does it very seamlessly. But I think it comes, too, from the fact that he's been performing since he was, like, 2 or 3. He was doing Elvis Presley impersonations. Like, he grew up in the whole performing thing with his family when they were, because I think they were in Hawaii or something like that, where he was born. Mm-hmm. I think you can feel that when he's on stage, you feel like he is not trying too hard. It's not like a 1-2 step and remember what you did in rehearsal.
It's
like,
it's not a job, it's a hobby.
Exactly.
Because that's what I wonder, maybe that's the difference. I even took it too deep into the whole artistry, but I think, like, Beyonce was mostly pushed from her father, like, to get into the whole music industry and with Destiny's Child and stuff, where I think, I don't know too much about Bruno Mars, but maybe he came into it more on his terms and more in a natural way, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if you can say somebody come into it on their own terms at 2 or 3, though. Because you ever see any of the videos with him when he was... Because he was like a little person, full on dancing.
But that's what I mean. Like, you see Elvis even that, Presley, like, how he he's into
the,
it.
The Elvis Presley clothes and the hair and so on. This was like when he was 2, 3, 4. So I don't know if there is a big difference that way between him and Beyonce. Because mm-hmm. they both started, you know. But I think... For sure, like you say, when he's performing, there is a vibe that he brings that cannot be manufactured. You cannot rehearse that. That's just like something that's very spirit. Natural.
Yeah.
And so that's why I would give him the edge, honestly, over Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Sonic, Silk Sonic. And anybody listening, do yourself a favor. I think this is one of those songs, one of those albums that you know.
Everybody
have,
needs in their life. To a certain degree.
And unlike you and your brother, I don't have it on Spotify or on some, you know, I don't know, streaming, whatever. I have actual...
Gosh, you don't even know that it's streaming platform.
Whatever. I don't care. You see, when the internet decided to go the way of our flesh...
Yes, ma'am. I have all actually the CDs.
I think this is how you support real artists when you buy the actual work.
They get money from Spotify, I think.
So we go talk about Adele.
Okay, so what my rating of Silk Sonic, thanks for asking, usual.
I
should keep, you know, keeping this conversation going on. And then it's just like, okay, because this is interviewing mom, clearly.
All right, sorry, Inya.
I think I would have also given it like either 9 or 9.5 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Just because like I also enjoy like watching all the music videos to the songs, because I think that gives it another level of like liveliness.
Yes,
just
true.
Like how, you know, the song, what's the name, what's the one, is it with that bit, the heartbreak one, like when Anderson Paak just drops himself and go like that is just the most
smoking out the window.
That's just like the most funniest thing that I've
ever
seen. Like, I don't know, it's just so dramatic. And I've been following him on Instagram for a while now, and he's just a very strange, weird person, but like you have to just appreciate his level of like comedy to the whole thing, because it's a serious matter. You know, he's there cussing at it, and he's like, I think I'm gonna die. You know, see, he's just like, next clip he's just on the ground, and then he just comes back up.
But
afterwards.
The thing is that the thing what took me out in it was like, okay, so I saw that he disappeared, and then you see Bruno Mars singing, and he's literally just still on the ground, and then
and
he just
not
pops
moving.
Back up. Like, it was just, yeah.
So that's, I think, I would
the
like
drama
to see
of it all.
Yeah, I don't know right now at the moment if like all the videos are out, but I think definitely once like all the music videos are out from all the songs, like I would definitely,
yeah, because
to
I would
it.
Love to see what the music video for 777
yeah.
would look like.
That would probably look like the other song Bruno Mars have.
Oh,
the,
Gold.
You know this.
I know.
The song,
I know which
yeah.
one you're talking and coming to me. But yeah, I think the thing with the two of them too is like you can see that they
their
love. They love. They have the whole musicality down. But there is a vibe and a comedy to them. And I feel like they have their ears to the streets. So for example, when you see Anderson Paak, how he come out and like he's like, this bitch is, because I think they knew that this is going to do what it needs to do for the culture.
Hit some people.
Exactly. So I think like, yeah,
it's good,
really good album. I think it's the video for 777, if they go ahead and make that video, I think it's just going to be fire.
Yeah, it'll be fun. You go feel.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to the next album, Precursor. I have not yet fully listened to the full album. Yes, I know. Shame on me. I'm going to definitely do it.
And you know why,
podcast.
Though? It's because you have it on Spotify.
You have the actual DVD,
CD.
Look, man, for Adele, I think, you see the difference between like a Silk Sonic or Adele. For Adele's album, you need to be emotionally ready to listen to that, because you know you're going to be crying for the next 2.5 hours after you're listening to it. So maybe I'm not emotionally ready to take on Adele yet.
Well, I like to cry, and I like emotions.
Yes, so that's the trouble. I like to cry.
What is the name of the album?
Adele's album.
Because you realize there's nothing on it.
And
I know
like
she said that it's a trilogy, so she had 21 or what, she had 25. It does. There is no. Let me check it.
Adele 30. It says here.
It's
30. Adele 30. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So this is Adele's tribute to, well, she said it's actually a love note to her son,
yeah,
based on the fact that she basically left his father.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I just want to say, just I know it has answered the album, but remember when that whole thing was going on, when she was divorcing and they had like those pictures of her cussing on the phone, because you know the guy must have get like a whole heap of money from her because she's rich. There's a picture where she was like on the phone cussing, and I think
okay.
It was also around that time when they were getting divorced or
okay,
having issue or whatever.
I didn't know that.
And like also I think I don't know if it was like a literal serious meme or if it was like news, but like he got a good amount of money,
yeah,
because
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
she rich.
That. But there's a song, you know, the song number 9, Woman Like Me. I think that gave me some sort of insight on you know, the texture of their relationship. Because in on that song, she says that, like, she basically is saying that they're from the same place, meaning the same place in England or whatever.
Mm.
But that he is, basically, she called him lazy. You have to listen to the words of that song, woman like me.
Mm.
It's like, you know, what it takes to be with a woman like me. Like, she's willing to do whatever to, like, make the relationship work. But he has to do consistent. He has to be consistent. Just the song talks about consistency. And I think she really low-key cussed him out on that one. But let us go from the beginning. I like the opening, Strangers by Nature, I think. And again, like the thing I'd said, that the relationship broke down, and she basically is the one who pulled the plug on it. But I think she's very aware that, you know, what she didn't get to have for herself as a young woman, because I don't think her parents were married.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted that for her son, and this never happened. So mm-hmm. the whole thing is to talk to her son about it. I think her voice is just, there's no comparison to Adele when you come on. I mean,
speaking of her voice, let me just cut in quickly, because I remember somebody, I don't know if it was recorded on the podcast, but I know you mentioned it multiple times that you were worried that, you know, what's with her voice? Because, you know, she lost some weight and stuff. If she go lose her voice and the soul, and you were just very worried about it. We actually
never talked about that on the podcast, because I felt that it was never
this is a very open podcast where things can be open up, right? Your issues, my issues, everything. How does it feel? How does it feel to be wrong on
how
one of them?
Mean wrong?
Because you were sort of saying, watch her, she not gonna have her voice no more.
I was upset about the fact that I felt like she was losing weight because she wanted to fit into some sort of cultural and I was not wanting that for her.
Yeah, but I don't think
she is big and just voluptuous and just very full. Like, and this is the same way I feel about Oprah. That's why I thought I did kind of can't deal with Oprah no more either, because I feel like if you're a big personality, if your soul is big and you actually are physically big, that's okay. Like, why? Yeah. There is no rule that said the whole way I feel the same way.
Did you see, there was an interview she did, or she was collaborating with one YouTuber, and they were talking about, because you remember, was it this year or last year, when she came out and then my picture of her, like, I don't know, at Carnival or something, come out, and everybody was like, oh my God, what happened? She was
she did have on the Jamaica thing.
Yeah,
and her hair was in the Chinese bump.
I think she said, like, because she don't have access on her Instagram, you know. It's like her marketing people and so. And they said they gave her the thing, and she did upload that post, and they instantly took away she's like, never again. And I'm just like, wow.
No, I mean, I just want to be clear. Like, I had problems with her losing weight straight up, because I feel like now that she's talked about it, because remember, we only saw that she was losing weight. She never came out and she never said anything. Yeah. No, she come out and her basic thing is like, it's basically the weight of the emotional baggage issues she had with her father as well. And then all 2020 she was like, all right, since she at home and since she the divorce, because her son, she said her son would go and be with his father, so there were a lot of time when she was by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, why not do something more productive than just drink, you understand? And so now that I get the context for it, and I hope that she's telling the whole truth, then mm-hmm. fine. But I just felt very strong, and I still do, Anya. It's like, I don't like the idea that women need to conform. Exactly. And all we have to look like some version of Beyonce. You understand?
Or the Kardashians.
And even with that fat girl name, what's your name? The one... Look, I don't see fat as a derogatory word. Lizzo, she's one woman. We need her to just sit down and calm down. Like, the way that she always feels like she has to show herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm not saying that you have to do that when you're, because I don't like to see people when they eat so quote unquote thin and and socially correct quote unquote body figure. I don't like to see them being overtly vulgar, like, you know what I mean? And so it applies to somebody who is fat. Like, I don't feel like it's necessary to do all of that. Fine, it's her life, she can do what she want. But I really respect Lizzo from that point of view of, like, she is fully owning herself. Mm-hmm. Like, she is how she is, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And so my concern with Adele was like, okay, I wonder if she's doing that because she wants to kind of, like, you know, cross over and become this pop person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just okay. Like, you remember that, the thing she did at the Royal Albert Hall? I can never forget that album when I was doing, when I had to do that operation with my tonsils and I was in the hospital. That album bring me through. Mm-hmm. Like, and because we had the CD from it, and she was there. I used to see her on the stage and she'd take off her shoes. And she just was just in her fullness as a full-blown soul, just like sharing herself with our audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that in a world of BBLs and in a world of like people having all sorts of body dysmorphia issues, like, just be who you are and let's just accept, because I don't want nobody to look like me. Like, we are all different.
Yes, you know, you don't like when people wear jeans when you wear jeans. Don't worry. We know you're very particular. No,
like,
yeah,
seriously, though. Like, everybody...
you have to accept your uniqueness, but then you also have to see that, like, for example, I said from the beginning when we were having a back and forth with Adele losing weight, like, you could see that I don't feel the way Adele comes off as a person and her mm-hmm. personality. She doesn't seem like the type who would do it, like, to fit in. Like, I definitely did see from the beginning, you could see this is something more. She's doing this for mm-hmm. her and for her to feel like, as you said, like, to literally, like, shed off some of the weight and some of, like, the baggage she's been having to deal with.
In that interview that she did with Oprah, I never watched all of it, but I think she mentioned the fact that she was very offended when people, I guess people like me, who were saying, why is she losing weight? And some people were saying that, you know, that she basically betrayed, like, you know, people who are fat or, you know, overweight, they're betraying the whole movement.
Yeah.
And she was like, look, leave me the fuck alone. I am having enough issues managing my own self. I'm not your role model. Mm-hmm. Take care of your own self. And when I heard her say that, I was like, good for her. Because mm-hmm. I think, imagine that there was this actress. Oh my God, I should not remember. She's from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also very fat,
mm-hmm.
but and she's a comedian.
Amy, what's her name? Amy something.
But you hear about her, how they say, like, her managers and everybody was saying that, like, she have to stay fat.
Really?
Because I don't know if it's that same person.
She's blonde.
She's from Australia. Perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly. And she was like, they were forcing her to stay fat because it's like, you know, you're fat and jolly. You're
and
funny.
That's like, yeah, that's like, and your
that's
trait.
The trope that you're going to. And so, the fact that Adele come out and say, look here, want to take care of yourself. Like, I like that. I wish more artists would do that. Stop using these people as role models. Because when you do that, it's like you dehumanize them. 100%. You made them not able to, like, just live how and they change. Want to live.
But that's like a whole. So, you ever read watch videos I watch about, like, the whole, I say, like, not fatphobic community, but like the whole community about, like, you know, bigger women and stuff like that, that it's like super toxic because they have some people who are like quote unquote role models who, because of their health or reasons or whatever, they have to actually start to take weight or mm-hmm. take off weight and start to care their body, and they start losing weight because, you know, they live a more healthier mm-hmm. lifestyle. People start picking up and it's like, oh, you're turning into one. And it's like, oh my God, like, how did this become like a political, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. type of thing? And make them even feel like bad being happy about, like,
see, because I think that's the thing for me, you know, it's a tricky thing. I think if you, because there's one person in Jamaica that I know too, who was she also was like, oh yeah, you know, she big and, you know, she fat and that's fine and blah, 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 yeah. whatever. And then, you know, life will teach you that, yeah, maybe some of the things that you are doing are not as healthy.
Yeah.
And then once you start to sort of implement that in your life, you're naturally going to start to shed some of the weight, right? Yeah. And I think that is okay, because I think a lot of times people who are overweight or are on the more obese, and that's different. There's fat and then there's obese.
Because
I think that people who are super obese and they're like coming in your face and telling you how wonderfully, you know, they're fine with their curves or whatever, I don't believe them, you know. And I feel like if you want, first of all, don't come and tell me nothing. Like, live your life, right?
Yeah.
And if you're living your life really honestly, you will know that being obese is not a goal. Just like being emaciated and totally thin, that is also not a goal.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, especially because, like, I think even with that, there are different circumstances in life, like, will put you to that point, like, in either direction, either the over skinny or the over, like, over obese.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I feel like unless it's a serious, like, medical condition in terms of, like, you know, thyroids mm-hmm. or you can't process and stuff. I mean, sure, you can get it if you're in a depressed, like, if you're depressed and you have stuff working with, but, like, I think the most healthy thing would be to try and still, you know, strive for more positively positive health as a mentally and physically, because that does, like, I feel that does change your outlook on life and your thing. Like, once you start physically being more active, it's like you almost, your head start to clear up a bit. But
and like there is no goal weight, for example,
like that for because sure, because I always have such an issue with that, because like I'm glad as a family that we don't even have like a weight thing, because I feel like the weight tells you nothing, because it
may, you know, the other day when I was going to do the I had to go and do that test.
Yeah.
I have to fill out the form, and that was one of the things. What's your weight?
And you didn't know.
I did not know, and like, so then your father was like, okay, so but we have to put something down, and I was like, but I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I've made. Because I don't think that that's something that's needed.
And also, like, you know, the foolishness about that is that fat is lighter than muscle. So if you work out and you have muscle, you'll go weigh more. And you're, in your mind, you'll be like, oh my God, I go fine. But the muscle is more like heavier than fat.
So also, your height play a big part in it.
Well, that for sure, yeah.
But I think, you know, I feel like we should be at a place now, because when you look at the whole body positivity movement, and I think if you choose to keep on a certain amount of weight for whatever reason, you have to know for yourself what sort of health complications you're going to put yourself in, and be okay with the consequences of that. Like, I personally don't feel like I would want to be, you know, more heavier or more thinner than I am now. What I know I want to be doing is more healthy.
I want to be
eating more things, and I want to be able to lift more weights if I need to. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I was very concerned for Adele from that point of view, because in the entertainment industry, there's a lot of that goes on.
Oh, for sure. Like, manipulating and like morphing the person to be a certain thing, which is like...
Because even like Rihanna, for example, you see how sometimes Rihanna looks super fat, and then one other time she looks thin, and then it's like one other time she's pregnant. And I always wonder about that, you know, because she's never done any interview to speak to that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if... Could that be something that we are witnessing? Maybe that's some sort of weight issue that she have. Is this more body dysmorphia situation that she have, or is this just like she just being a woman and fluctuating?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture between, maybe there's a slight fluctuation. You know, some days you're more bloated than others, but in terms of like the editing of pictures and stuff, 100%.
Because I remember we're seeing
when you don't see the real thing at all, like Instagram is a lie and all. The modeling something, everything, like a lot of models and stuff even come out when they I appreciate it a lot, like when a lot of the models, they come out and they say like, this is not me, and then they show you where they over edited, like their calves, their legs, and they'll edit so
you feel like that's what happened with Rihanna.
With Rihanna, 100% sure. Also, like in terms of like highlights and lighting and stuff, you can really change like a lot of things.
So like, she's super highlighted, so that when we see her
in real life, it's like, oh my God, what the hell? It's the same thing with like, you have you're on Instagram, but you're not really on Instagram. But like, they have on the search feed, they have dedicated pages that show people's famous influencers, not even famous, like big ones, but like how they look in real life and then how they're the pictures.
Yeah.
And that's always like where you look at it and like, you know, normally sometimes you go to Instagram and every now and then you feel like, my butt could be a bit bigger, my thighs could be a little bit this and this and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when you see some of those pictures every now and then, it kind of like puts you down a level and be like, okay, but this is not real life though. Mm-hmm. Nobody actually looks like this, and everybody is using filters and stuff. But I also feel happy for Adele that she
going back to Adele.
And I can miss her voice and her personality. There's something about her, she's just very real, you know. But I respect the fact that that's what makes her still be real, because she's gonna probably disappear after a while soon. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like she come and she go, and like,
and she
I
only
like,
come and talk to us when she has something to say. She's not constantly in our face trying to sell us something.
Who are you talking about, mom? Let's hear from the list of the no-goes people. Or we're not.
I think Beyonce went through a phase like that, but I think she has matured, not just as a woman, but as an artist, where she knows now she don't always have to be in our faces.
I think she's more sly about it, because when was the last time you saw like an interview with Beyonce?
She don't interview no more, because they said that she done, so she don't know how to talk.
Oh,
I'm just reporting what they've
said.
I'm
just repeating what was told to me by the internet.
No, I read that she don't, like, that's what, but also, like I said, I could very much be wrong, and I'm okay to be wrong about that, but I respect the fact that she don't come out all the time and doing a lot of talking, because you have to have a certain mystique, you know, to you, you know. And I think that is what this lawsuit, this whole new social media setup, where on one hand, it's really good that artists can control their own stories, their own narratives. But then on the other hand, it's like, you have to know how to limit that. Because if you are too much in our faces when you do your art, we're not going to be able to separate your real life. From especially if you're an actor or actress, for example.
Yeah.
You understand? But anyway, let's go back to Adele.
Yes.
Like I said, I'm happy that she lost her weight and she seemed happy about it, and I'm happy for her.
And she's in a new relationship. She seemed more happy.
If she had kept the weight on, I would be just as fine, because I feel like people like Aretha Franklin, for example, you know, Aretha Franklin is like somebody who is very, very, like, she's a big woman, but her voice is just as big. So it's like, that maybe is my own issue, where I feel like Adele has such a big voice. I am just the like, it makes sense. It makes sense to me that her body is, yeah. But anyway, so going back to her album. So she have the first song is Easy on Me, that I feel like love that. Love that for us, for her, for the world. Everybody, because I feel I like that she always come out with this song, like, cause remember the song Hello, after she did Go Away for a long time, and she come back with the first song on that album was Hello. It's like she's in constant conversation with the audience, and I think this one Easy on Me is the conversation kind of switch a bit, whereas that she's not having a conversation with us necessarily. We're there in the room, you know, but the conversation is with her son. You know, so Easy on Me, I think, was a good first hit. So, and then now the third song, My Little Love. This is the only song that I feel a bit conflicted by. You listen to it, right?
No, but you were telling about
me. Will that you was... ever do the homework for this podcast?
I'll do it later. I'm
mentally. How are you going to do the homework later if we're actually talking
Mom,
about it now?
Thank God this isn't school, right?
There was you no would end not dates. Get a good grade for that.
Yeah,
but what I thought I said to you, didn't you hear me listening to it?
No, yeah, I know. That was like the tipping point. One of the songs that you were iffy about, you were like, I don't know if I like the album.
No, yes, because I feel like the song is really great. Obviously, she's so good on it, and I mean, it's not like it's a bad song, but my problem is the fact that her son is on the song. And, you know, she's like, I'm having a lot of big feelings sometimes these days. And it's a good little interaction between she and her son, which is fine. I'm all for that. But I feel that I don't want to say she monopolize or she capitalize or she this is sort of like some sort of emotional capitalism, like, where she knows that people are desperate for her music and happy that she came out, and they know to put
a bit of spice.
It's not even spice, it's like it pulls at your heart to know that she's going through this rough thing and her son is aware of, not obviously all the details, but he's like, she says that she feels confused and she doesn't know what to do, and he's like, at all, you know, the English accent. And so, I mean, like I said, the song itself is great, the interaction is great, but I feel like this song was strategic to the selling of the album. I hope I'm wrong, because I really like Adele, but I feel like it wasn't necessary for her to put her son up in it in that way. No, that said, if she said the album is a love note to her son and an explanation to her son, then she have every right to do what she wants, a fair album, a fair art. But as a mother, I wonder, like,
is it too much?
Yeah, you know. Let me just say this quickly. At the end of the song, she's crying and she, you know, she's being very, very vulnerable and very raw about how she feels lonely. Yes, because there's a voice note that she sent to her friend, but it's attached to that one song, right? And I don't know how to articulate how I feel about this, because I feel like it's weird, because I want to, like I said, I think talking about your emotions is important, but then on the other hand, I feel like this was just going too much. Like, there's some things that are meant to be private.
But maybe that has more to do with you and the way how you, like, go about family life. Yeah, yeah. Parenting, that you would more in a more sheltered way, that you keep your stuff with, which is, you know, you're right. But I feel, is there a part of strategy in it? Of course.
Strategy. You know who said that first? Strategy. George Bush, because he's dyslexic. They say, and he used to say strategy. And instead of saying nuclear, he used to say nuclear or something like that. Because, you know, people have dyslexic. Anyway, go on.
But I do believe Adele when she says, you know, she did this for her son, and for her son to like later on listen to it when he's of age to be able to process the things. Like, I do believe her with that, but maybe it's fine. You know.
But I forget, like I said,
I forgive her. No, she's allowed to put out this album.
You see what you said? What you said? This song was really tricky because after I listened to it a couple of times, I was like,
Because you know you have that in the back.
Is she trying to sell me this emotional thing? And like, I don't want that. I don't want that for us, or a relationship for me and her.
All right, but my question: do you feel the emotions that were in the song are real? Like that, you know. Or you think it's too raw? That's your issue.
Yeah, I think it is. And I don't think that it's not so much that I feel like, obviously she entitled, okay, I'll keep saying this because it's like a no-brainer. She's entitled to her emotions, right?
But
I just think that that it's strategic in the sense that you put that sort of emotion in the album is so as to sell it. And I feel like Adele doesn't need to do that. That's a point what I want to make. That Adele is of such a caliber that she could have done this entire album without ratcheting the emotional quality. Yeah. It's not just emotion, because all her albums are emotional. Let's just be real. But this just goes so deep that it's like, why? Why are you needing excavate so much of your private life in a public way? May have problems with that. You understand?
Yeah, but as I say, I think that's more of a personal issue than more of like what it has to do with like Adele, because I think like you wouldn't go about with the emotions, like even though
yes, Miss Anya, who lives in light and shadows.
Light and shadows. Wow.
By the way, that's the theme for our reading in January, Writers in Stuttgart.
Oh my God, is this a shameless plug?
It just came in.
Just random. It wasn't planned at all.
No, but do you? Would you be okay? Like, because you know, you always say there's a difference between private and secret. Secret,
yeah, for sure. I mean, granted, I don't know if like I feel. I think, I see how it is already for, you know, having an artist in the family and how it is. They're very protective of their things, of, you know, what they let out into what you're trying to act on. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm being affected.
I don't know what to say.
Because, like, I think there's a lot of vulnerability that goes into art. Like, if it's written art, if it's singing, if it's, like, artistry and, like, you know, literally drawing, painting.
Yeah, but we don't reach there yet. But that song, To Be Loved, which is, like, number 11, and that's one of the most dramatic and intense of all the songs on the album.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ask for any more emotion than that.
Okay, so it's basically for you, it's more or less about the child that she being a child. I get what you mean, because it's like it's involving him into the whole thing. It's not just her emotions, but if it's just like a subtle conversation, it reminds me more of like, for example, Kanye used his mother's heartbeat in the song, or a lot of artists do that where they have like their kids, like Jay-Z did it too with Blue Ivy, I think, like her saying something or singing, or Beyonce. Like, I think people like incorporate it because as much as it's like Adele is a singular woman, like her son is like a part of her, and I think as long as it's nothing like inappropriate in terms of like what they're saying, I think it's okay. But again, I'm talking out of a perspective of somebody who's not a mother and doesn't know how it is to have children, so I think that's why it affects you more, because like you're looking at it in that perspective of like, okay, this is our child.
So the thing is, for me, with the whole Kanye thing, you know, with him using his the heartbeat from his mother, and also he used on one of the songs a speech from her as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of different because I feel like his mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, this is sort of like to a memory, and a tribute to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this situation, this is actually ongoing. We don't know if Adele and her husband might get back. We don't know that. Adele don't know that.
Okay, well,
we don't know
if she did put on the album either way with her husband.
No, I'm just saying though that like, and we don't know, you know, how her son really will react to it. I don't know what the relationship between she and her son will be when he's 18, 19 and can listen to it, that he might look back at this and think, okay, well, why did you use me like that? Why do you need to put me, you know what I mean?
That's what she'll have to deal with like in the future, you know?
So I think that's the song that, like I said, technically in terms of the singing, everything is still perfect, but I question the inclusion of it in the album.
It's that's sad the only that way, one. But it's sad though because like I understand your thought process behind it because the world that we live in, they
don't drive it's so sketchy that. And people are just like emotional terrorists. Like they use their art to sort of like
the spiritual pull abuse you in, extent.
And try to like manipulate how you feel about something. And I just feel like Adele is like I said, she's top tier in terms of our abilities to express ourselves through but song. Again, that she doesn't need to do no gimmicks. But then again, feel like gimmicks to me. Yeah, but it's like even with Beyonce. You see when she did that Lemonade song. When she did that Lemonade song, I felt like as much as she quarrel with Beyonce all the time. I felt like she was very respectful about how she managed her the whole song. You see, she talk about emotions and she never like I don't feel like she held anything back, but at the same time I didn't feel like she was giving me so much of what actually happened between she and Jay-Z that I felt uncomfortable. I felt a bit uncomfortable listening to this just from the point of view of her son. Like, will he be okay with that?
But even later, that, I mean, even with the whole with Beyonce's Lemonade, didn't she bring Blue Ivy in like a lot of the songs?
But the songs that she brought her in, I think, if I remember well, are not songs that were specifically to do with the breakup of she and Jay-Z.
The whole album was about it.
No, the songs that the little girl was included in was more about women, empowerment of girls, black girls here and all of that. So I can see how that would make sense. I guess it's come down to when I maths it out, it have to make sense.
But in your calculations.
Right? Every person who listens to the album going to do their own calculations of it. I think that's the only song that really sort of made me, Cry Your Heart Out, I don't remember that one. Oh My God was okay. Can I Get It was really very good. Like I felt like that's the only up-tempo one.
Happy song from Adele. That's amazing.
This is a Can I Get It Right Now, and then there's a whole whistling thing that go on in it. It was okay. I Drink Wine is the one that I'm currently obsessed with. I like the theme about I hope I learn to get over myself, stop trying to be somebody else, and about how she don't know anybody who is truly satisfied. I like I Drink Wine. And then she did there's an interlude one, All Night Parking, and then she did the one Woman Like Me. That's one I think she really cussed her ex-husband out, and I think if I was him I would be pissed away.
Why you gotta do me like that? Anyway,
when you listen to the song though, Enya, it's like a text. Why is the chair sounding so old?
Because it's loud. In our professional studio, of course.
Not in Woman Like Me is like, you know, when you write a you call somebody out via text, it's basically the text, and she just like sing it, and because she can't sing good, she just like sing it.
I was like, oh my God, yes, give me more.
But yeah, and then Hold On is very, very good. To Be Loved, I think, is the most epic of all Adele songs ever. And like, I mean, she said it in many interviews that she don't think that she's going to perform that live, because I think technically it's a very tough song. I don't even know if a single me know that that's not, you know how you know some songs you can't sing along with? That's not one of them. You just have to sit down and allow the song to come over you, To Be Loved. But I think, that one was like, the epic. And then Love Is a Game, I think, was really very, very good to close the whole album, because it's like, you know, she talk about all of the back and forth and the emotions of being in love, and then at the end of the day, Love Is Game basically said, well, I'm gonna do it again, because what else is there to do?
It's like all that shit,
you know,
like,
it's a game and we're fools and we play it.
Ratings 1 out of 10.
No, before we do the ratings, I want to say that Adele did said something that I thought was very interesting, and I was like, this is how I separate her from other artists, where when her music was being uploaded, Spotify, Apple, whatever, her thing was like, she don't want people to be able to just go into the album and listen to one song, that they have to listen from the beginning to the end.
Wait, what? Really?
You never hear the whole choral over it? Because she was like, because she said she do the whole thing as a story, and she wanted people to listen from the beginning to the end, and I totally relate.
So familiar, you know, this like manic artist telling you how to enjoy the art or else you won't
Yes, that's what people are saying. Like, the hell, if I buy the album, leave me alone. I can't listen to how I want it. But her argument...
No, give it back. Like, take your damn money.
Her argument, though,
you're really
going to
be a minister society once your book thing come out, you know?
No, because I wouldn't do that necessarily. But I get what she... I get it, because it's like, if you sit down and you make a story, I should do it exactly so. You don't want somebody to go in the middle now and listen to, I don't know, I Drink Wine, and not get where she was coming from with, you know, Strangers by Nature and Easy on Me. Like, she wants you to listen.
I feel like we've gone into a real artist deep dive of, like, how to, you know.
No, Anya.
But yes, no, I get what you mean. They do tell a story with the way how there's a reason. Well, not with all of them, but some of them, the way how they position the songs has a reason. Because, you know, it's like I got through.
Because they're telling a story. It's like, even with Silk Sonic, I remember Bruno Mars said, like, after they did... when they were doing the whole thing, Smoking Out the Window is a real cuss out, right? It cussed the girl out peak. And whatever. And then notice, put a smile on. Yeah, is when Bootsy Collins said to them, but fellas, tell her how you really feel.
Yeah.
And then that song was sort of much more, you know, melodic and was like, okay, you know, you really hurt my feelings. And so, right? And so I think as an artist, you want, because when you consume the story the way that they presented it, you know, it's like they're assuming that you're going to get the whole point of the whole thing. So I get that. The fact that she came out and said, though, I have to give her respect. That's like real. I don't want to say balls. She have real pussy, because like balls are not strong. Pussy is strong. Yeah, so she really is strong for like saying, look, this is how I want my music to be consumed.
I have to check it out, because I didn't check it out on Spotify if you can actually do that.
I don't think she won. I don't think she was able to
do that. I don't think you can even do that.
No, but she was
just... Because like, how would you like program it that you anytime... That would be so annoying. Even if you're taking out one song, it's like, no, you have to press this. Another five songs. You can't listen to the fourth song yet.
Right. So jeez. Yeah, I would. What's your rating?
I didn't listen to it yet fully, but
I feel so bad for
I preface this whole part of the segment that I'm going to do my homework afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Ratings out of 10.
I think I would give this a 9.3 out of
10.
Yes, okay. I gave the Silk Sonic 9 out of 10. I don't know why I'm giving Adele 3. Because I think.
I like
crying music. I sit very well with sadness. I feel like that's where you get a lot of source from in terms of understanding life. I am not ashamed to admit that. So while I would listen to Silk Sonic, I am fine.
I'm great.
I'm great.
Like holding back the tears.
No, but I like sad songs. Like, because you know how they say, like, sometimes you listen to some songs, right? And you identify so much with the words. Like, that don't happen to you, you know. You never have seven pitney and the man beat you and so, you know. But you just, like, you so identify with it.
Like, I was abused. I was used.
Or when I was younger, for example, and I was never had relationship, ever have sex before, or never even have a child. And you listen to some songs and you're totally there.
Into it. It's like, yes, my heart is broken.
I think that shows the power of the artist, you know. And so, but I think... Naturally, I like sad songs. I do. I do genuinely feel like they don't make me feel sad. And even if I cry, if I'm listening to it, I always feel empowered. I don't know if that's weird or whatever. But anyway, I give it 9.3 only because of that. Because I think the Silk Sonic...
Didn't make you cry, basically.
So what that means?
I don't know. You need to tell me what that means, because I don't know.
Because like, if there's a buffet of emotions, which one you prefer? You prefer to be happy?
But that's
all the
time.
Because
I
don't think happiness is a sustained... It's not a sustained condition. You cannot sustain it.
Yeah, well, that, and also feel like negative emotions stick with you more than positive emotions. That's why they said, that's why we're all so dissatisfied with life and living, because like, you really only know pain is what like motivates you, because you don't want to be hurt. So that's like, when you are hurt, it's like, it stings more than when you're happy. So maybe that's why it's just like,
I feel, yeah, I feel like that kind of, you know, sadness or pain, if you use alchemy well, I think you can use it. You know, you can literally, it's something you can use to motivate and drive your life positively, not necessarily negatively. And I think you know, I don't agree when people, like we were talking before we started to tape, about how people will fall in love 6 and 7 times and get hurt, and then it's like they're like Dory and be like, I'm in love again. I think that's what life is really driven by, and we shouldn't be afraid of that. Mm. I feel every time your heart gets broken, or you experience some sort of pain, that you're meant to use that as a fire to sort of like fire you up for more. Because I don't think, I feel like every time your heart breaks, it gets stronger.
But it's just like muscles, like you tear your muscles each time, and then it heals, and then it grows stronger. Right,
and the point is, like, if you walk away from that, are you really living?
No.
I don't think that, we shouldn't be afraid. Like, I just don't think that, I don't like the idea of being afraid of the dark. You know, I think if you truly want to live, you'll have to make peace with the darkness and go down there and go sit down sometimes. But then also not be afraid of the light. Yeah. But and I think that's what I was saying earlier about happiness. I feel like happiness, the state of happiness, you know, is very, very fleeting, and it's not, you can't sustain it. What you can sustain though is a honesty with the imbalance or the balance of life, in that you know that the happiness is not going to stay, you know that pain is going to arrive, and you just do the dance with the two, you know, and not fixate on the happy. So okay. I think that's a great way to end. But are we ending?
Yes, I think we're ending.
So
that was a quick review. Tell us if you have any other things you want us to review, series.
Okay, let's
calm CDs, down. CDs, songs, let's or books,
down.
I don't know.
Let's calm down. I'm not interested to do no big time reviewing.
Why not? Things. I keep saying we need to have like segments. No, so we started the unpopular segment. Like, we have like unpopular.
I like the disorder of our
podcast. Okay, well, I am not going to be 100% for this disorder. We've been going on great, but now we need a bit of structure, right?
So, that was Silk Sonic and 30. That's what it's called, yeah?
Yeah. 30 from Adele.
And I think it's a good, we're lucky. I feel like we're lucky in this 2020 or 2021.
Or that,
in this whole time that we were able to get music like this. Mm-hmm. Although I think Adele said that her songs were ready from earlier, but just because of the pandemic, what she did kind of, she's delayed. Yeah, so I want to recommend or suggest.
Yes, mom, we're looking forward to what is the book of this month? Let us hear and give us a recap of what it is.
I'm
not going to give a recap.
I'm just going to say, I don't even finish it yet.
But we're all looking forward to
hear. It's called Cannibal by Sapphire Sinclair. She's a poet from Montego Bay, Jamaica. And I was very, very, very excited.
A fellow rival, I see.
No, why do you say that rival? What the hell?
Isn't that how you authors go against each other?
No, Inya.
That's not like sports.
The opposite.
Go team.
So as I was saying, Cannibal is written by Sapphire Sinclair. She was born and raised in Montego Bay, Jamaica. I'm going to read at the back. It says the poems is part of a stunning debut collection where she beautifully evokes the poet's Jamaican childhood and reach beyond to explore history, race relations in America, womanhood, otherness, and exile. She says she shocks and delights her readers with her willingness to disorient and provoke. Cannibal marks the arrival of a thrilling and essential new lyrical voice. I feel really very, very pleasantly surprised to have come across her. The fact that she's from Montego Bay, Jamaica. I'm in the middle of it right now, so I can't really like make a full, you know, assessment of it. But I will be making, like, maybe in the next episode we talk some more, possibly. But yeah, check it out. It's a nice book of poetry for the Christmas. I think we need more poetry. And I think if we can find it in any, especially during these times, yeah, I think poets are well needed. And the fact that she's Jamaican, I'm all for it.
Yes, and we're looking forward to the next Jamaican author who's going to come onto the, you know, the market whenever she, you know, is ready to bless us before, you know, worldly, you know.
One don't have nothing to do with the other. Just like I said, though, you should read her. Okay. I think there are some good poems in there so far. And, we'll see what happens next episode, what we're talking about.
Probably next episode will be after Christmas.
Oh, yeah, for the end of the year recap.
Yeah, end of the year recap.
All right, Anya.
Okay, Mom. Great seeing you again.
Yes, it was great seeing you too.
Guess we'll go in our respective corners now.
No, I don't have a corner. I live in a castle.
Yes, I forget. This is your space. Okay. I just live here a bit every now and then.
It was great talking to you again, Anya. I look forward to next episode.
Yes, me too. Well, thank you all for listening. Happy holidays. I think we passed Thanksgiving already and all of that. So
yeah, we didn't even talk none about Corona or Christmas. That's good.
We have the whole recap to talk about Rona and all that stuff. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to check us out on other, you know, platforms, either on Facebook, SoundCloud, Spotify, and also on Twitter, of course. So yeah, guys, stay safe and healthy. Enjoy the holidays with your families, and hear from you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.